What is going on, everyone? I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
And welcome to House of Pod, coming to you from what is seemingly an episode of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Dark. Mm-hmm. So we got a little shorter episode today. We got a few news bits, our AEW stuff, and then I have a query about the Zack Snyder film, which we'll go into, because I've been thinking a lot about the whole Snyder cut of Justice League and what it could entail, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But starting with some good DC news, Henry Cavill is in talks to return as Superman in an upcoming DC film. Mm-hmm. I saw the list. There's a few of them that I can see him pop up in.
Yeah, one in particular sparks to mind.
Were you thinking Black Adam?
I was.
Because I wasn't thinking Black Adam, but yes.
Well, they've announced that it's coming out in December. December 22nd.
Of this year?
No, 2021.
Okay, I was like, damn, there's some... The Rock just works.
I don't think he's going to be in this Black Adam. He's getting his own standalone Shazam movie first. Or he's getting his own standalone Black Adam. Yeah, never mind. That is Black Adam.
Yeah, I was like, what? Because I was thinking Shazam. Yeah. Like, Shazam 2, I feel like they could have Superman in it.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I was thinking of, them fighting. I got distracted for a moment.
That's all right. But they also have Aquaman 2, possibly, could have that. I don't know. That one's more of a stretch than whatever the previous one we just said. Shazam. I don't know if he'd be in Black Adam, though, because I feel like a Black Adam movie would be, like, in the past.
How he became Black Adam.
Yeah, if it's, like, an origin story, then we're in, like, ancient Egypt, you know? At least that's what I recall from
Black Adam. I don't know very much about Black Adam.
I'm pretty sure he was, like, in, like, a... Not a pharaoh, but, like, he was from, like, ancient Egyptian times. So... That I'm assuming the origin story would have a very mummy feel to it.
I'd be okay with that. We haven't had a good mummy movie in a while.
No, not since the Brendan Fraser ones. Although with how like comical Shazam is, mm-hmm. Do you think that Black Adam would also have that lighter tone to it?
I don't know. They might throw in random moments, but it kind of seems like this one's required to be a little darker.
But I understand that, but, like, The Rock is very, like, particular about his roles. Like, when was the last time you saw The Rock as a villain in something?
Doom.
Yeah, what was that, 2006-ish,
I want to say.
Garbage. It was bad. That was a bad movie. But, so I feel like they're probably going to make him kind of, like, the sympathetic villain. Because that's sort of how Black Adam kind of is. Because I know his whole driving force was his wife was like murdered. Mm-hmm. That's kind of why he was all...
Bloodbusted Superman-y?
Kind of, yeah, sort of. So I'm sure that'll play into it. Because I'm pretty sure prior to that he wasn't like a bad guy or anything. But... yeah, seeing Henry Cavill back in general is going to be super exciting because I think he did a good job. I think he looks the part of Superman. Like out of everyone that has played Superman thus far, like aside from like Christopher Reeves, mm-hmm. I think he's probably the best closest to what it looks like, especially like the DC, whatchamacallit, the New 52, which they were kind of going for with his suit and all that. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though. I kind of think that, what's his name? Brandon Routh. I think he did the best job of, like, switching back and forth between Clark Kent and Superman.
I think he did a really good job as the Christopher Reeve. It's like...
Oh, yeah. It was him. It was definitely him doing a Christopher Reeve impression, but yeah. He did it very well.
Yeah, and
he did the whole hunch over, and he was kind of like nerdy, and he was like he clumsy and everything.
But that's that personality is what I hope for out of like the like what I was hoping for with Henry Cavill, and they kind of like they shoehorned it in almost in Justice League, which will perfect segue into later. But like they kind of because like especially like in Batman vs Superman, he was still very broody and like, I don't know, blah blah blah. And then he like dies, comes back, and is fighting everyone. But then when, like at the very end, he's like, you know, when he starts doing his like truth and justice speech, it's like, well, this is like an unearned Superman.
Well, maybe they'll rectify that in the new one.
Yeah, but that's just me. That's just that's just how I see it.
Yeah, we can return to that a little bit later. Yeah, exactly. When that's actually the topic. moving from DC to Marvel, they actually secretly regained the Namor rights. Someone reportedly said Fox had them, but I guess they just kind of like reacquired them under the table with very little fanfare.
Wait, was this like recently?
I guess so.
How did they not have the rights? How did Fox, a company that doesn't exist anymore, have the rights to something that Disney didn't have after they bought them?
I'm not 100% sure.
That's weird. That's very weird. Well, that's good. I mean, that's...
I guess like they were planning to have him in the movie, but hadn't actually confirmed it yet because they didn't have the rights. And now that they've acquired him, I can assume he's going to show up in Black Panther 2, they hinted.
That hint was, I was immediately like, oh, that's Namor. Like, I didn't know that they didn't own him. Was he under the Fantastic Four banner? Or is it because he's like technically considered a mutant?
I don't know. Maybe that could have been it. Maybe the new one he is. There's a bunch of different routes they could go, or different reasons.
I'm just trying to figure out why Fox would even have them. Like, if I can see, like, if he's technically a mutant, then yeah, that makes sense. And he has been involved with X-Men storylines before.
I don't know. Maybe Universal had him. Yeah, I know Disney reacquired the rights.
So strange. Wait, no, wasn't Namor part of the what's it called? The little council, the silent council that they had for in House of M.
Possibly?
I could have sworn. I know that he... I
think so.
I know that he was in Avengers vs. X-Men, which would probably lead me to believe be the reason why Fox might have owned him. Because he was one of the guys that got the Phoenix, or part of the Phoenix, when it split between him, Colossus, Magic, Cyclops, and Emma Frost. I fucking love that storyline.
That's a really good storyline.
Oh my god, can you...
And surprise, Cyclops is a dick.
And we can see... You know what? Justice for Cyclops, okay? Everyone gave him shit when he was a Boy Scout, and then when he became an asshole, everyone's like, this guy's an asshole now. He's like, he just can't win.
Even when he was a Boy Scout, he was kind of an asshole.
He's just trying to do what's right, man.
Yeah, that's why he cheated on his wife in his head with Emma Frost, but said it wasn't real because it was in his head.
Well, that was also early. Let's not go into that. I feel like any early 2000s, any late 90s, early 2000s can be snubbed because all they were trying to do is what WWE tried doing, is like shock value. Well, shock value and like very large men with tiny heads, but like.
Well, some of it can't be unshocked. Unnaturally
large pecs.
It just can't be unshocked. That's all.
Very true.
But moving from one person that's back into a company to another one, Drew Gulak's back in the WWE.
Seamless. Oh, yeah, I saw that. That's weird.
Yeah. I guess he was a dispute over, it was some sort of a payment issue. So since he's back, I'm assuming now he's making more ducats.
Making more ducats.
Yes, ducats.
That's what they're paying him in, not actual U.S. dollars.
People don't use ducats enough nowadays.
No.
Another wrestler that's back is Deonna Purrazza, but she's back in Impact. Well, she debuted in Impact anyway.
Okay.
Impact is being sued by Jeff Jarrett over copyright infringement, and I guess a bunch of deleted tapings when he was still owner of it.
What?
I don't know. Jeff Jarrett needs money. Who knows?
I guess. That's so weird.
He's no longer King of the Mountain.
Was he ever King of the Mountain?
That was like, his catchphrase for a while.
I mean, King of his own mountain, I guess.
I don't know. King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett. I mean, he was the champion for a bit.
And he was like the owner of the company, wasn't he?
That's probably how he got to be champion for a little bit.
Yeah. But like... What copyright infringement? He doesn't own any of the company anymore.
I don't know. I guess maybe he has copyright over some things like back from the day, or they're trying to steal his likeness.
These copyright laws.
I didn't read too much into the lawsuit. I just saw Jeff Jarrett suing Impact. He went,
I didn't mean, I said that like Scooby Doo. Copyright laws. Copyright laws. Like, I think the one thing that bugs me is the fact that when a person leaves, they're not allowed to take the name with it because they still own it. But it's like, you're not, like, they're not making, it's not like they're like Dash and Wilder. Perfect example. Well, they're not Dash and Wilder anymore. They had to change their names. What is the point? Like, it's not like people are going to not know who they are. You know? Like, it's like, who are they? It's like, these guys look like the Revival, but they have different names. Like,
they must be different.
I don't get the logic behind it. Because, like, you can't make money off it. If they're not...
So no one can make money off of their success.
It's just dumb. It's just so dumb.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes, it is dumb. And I know it's not like Vince to be petty, but...
Yeah, right.
Also, China couldn't use her China with a Y in her porno movie. It had to be spelled with an I. Fun fact.
That is so strange.
Yep.
That is so strange.
One night in China. Her and X-Pac.
Oh, God.
There's an image for you. Mental or real, whether you decide to Google it later.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's all the news and horrible images I have for you today.
We could talk about, speaking of Vince being just a terrible person, on SmackDown, with Jeff Jarrett. God damn it. Jeff Hardy.
That's J-double-E.
Jeff Hardy getting a DUI on SmackDown?
Yeah.
Ooh, now... I think later on it was revealed that it wasn't.
They didn't actually clear that up. He just kind of like came back, and then it was confirmed that he passed a sobriety test, so they let him go. They never said he didn't hit anyone with a car.
Really? I thought they said that. I thought someone else did it.
No, they just kind of glossed right over that fact.
Well, regardless, you probably shouldn't make a storyline out of a very sensitive subject like the demons that you've dealt with in your past.
Yeah.
But it's not like it's not like...
I assume they ran it by him.
Still.
I know, but I assume they also ran the storyline with his brother by him and...
Yeah, it's just poor taste.
Yeah.
Ugh. That's all I really have to say about that. I think it's...
Was it 3 months or 8 months added to his contract? Oh, it was undetermined because he was still going through a court battle.
Who, Jeff?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I forgot how long was tacked on to his contract because of all the court and the DUI. And
he needs to get the fuck out of
rehab.
There. Did you listen to Jericho's podcast?
No.
When they had... Well, that's very vague. he had JR on not that long ago. And it was interesting listening to him, JR, talk about the... what happens, like the storylines and the workings behind a lot of those promos where JR was like made to be embarrassed, basically. Mm-hmm. Like the Kiss My Ass Club, and there's one in particular he talks about where like he was homesick because he was like close to dying or something, so they had him in a promo as a mannequin with like a cowboy hat on, ass up, and they were pulling stuff out of his ass. And at the very end was a mannequin of his head basically saying, JR, pull your head out of your ass. And like it made his wife cry.
Oh.
Now stuff like that. That's why it's like, yeah, they give them permission, but it's like, it's probably cause Jeff wants to wrestle. So he like,
yeah.
And so he's not going to be like, no, that's kind of fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
To his boss, because it is kind of fucked up.
Yeah, Jeff's probably just thinking, like, just so many more months, I'll be out of here.
Yeah, we can get Brother Nero back.
Yes.
Classify him as obsolete. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Is that all the news we have?
Brilliant!
Brilliant? Yes. Indeed. Let's go ahead and run through the Wednesday Night War, which I think AEW has been winning handily for a while.
Yes.
We haven't really talked about the numbers. But it's dropped with every because of the empty arenas, but AEW's just been doing better.
Yes, they have.
So starting out, we'll just go ahead and run through. We had a quick promo with the Inner Circle, who was all bummed out because they lost a Stadium Stampede match, and they had those t-shirts. that was like first ever Stadium Stampede champions, but they clearly lost, which I thought was hilarious because you know those like stories of like the losing Super Bowl team, all of their T-shirts get sent to like third world countries because they don't sell them because the team lost. So yeah, that leads into a match between Matt Hardy and the Young Bucks against Joey Janela and Private Party. Matt Hardy was younger Matt Hardy, I think, because he asked the Bucks if he wanted spot monkeys.
Y'all want to be spot monkeys for a few minutes?
Yeah,
that was great.
It was pretty good during the match. The brawl kind of went outside, and there was Joey Janela dodged a super kick and then hit the Butcher, I believe it was, which eventually they started brawling. That kind of leads into the end where it looks like Private Party might have the win, but Mark Quinn hurts himself during a double team move, which leaves
Cassidy deserves so much better.
Yeah, he leaves them isolated, so the Bucks take over. They get the victory. Matt kind of helps him and Private Party, or like Private Party, Janela, and Matt help Mark Quinn out. And then while that's happening, the Butcher and the Blade come in and start fighting. And then we see a car roll up during that, and formerly the Revival. Now I think they're just called FTR, or Fuck the Rest, or Fear the Revolts, or For the Revolution.
One of those for sure.
It's definitely one of those. They come out, and it looks like they're going to start beating on the Young Bucks, but then they turn and start beating up Butcher and the Blade. And then when the Young Bucks go to shake their hands, they kind of just turn away and leave.
So they're here to kick everyone's ass. I like it.
I guess.
That's a good gimmick.
I really hope they just mentioned the
like, no flips, just fists.
Yeah. Oh,
can they use that?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
No spots, just shots.
Oh, okay.
You can use that, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. That was not that bad, actually. No spots, just shots. I'm hoping they bring up the like 2-year feud that they've been having on Twitter.
Yeah.
That'll kind of work into it, but
yeah, we've been tweeting about this for 2 years, man.
Yeah, right. Up next we had Brian Cage in a squash match against Lee Johnson, the resident squashy.
Yeah.
The squash. Yeah. The squashed.
Good for him. At least he has TV time.
Yeah.
He's got the exposure.
He's good at selling, too. Mm-hmm. Moxley was on commentary during this, too. Afterwards, Taz came out and basically was like, Brian's going to rip your heart out at Fyter Fest.
Good for him.
Yeah. Which is good for him. Up next, we had Britt Baker coming out and addressing her injury. She's definitely going to be out for a while.
Yeah.
This was like the third episode of Rules of Being a Role Model, I think is the show that she called it. And basically spouted how her injury is some sort of conspiracy against her that is webbed between all of the women that were in the match leading up to referee Aubrey.
Yes. Oh my God. Heel Britt Baker is so good.
I know. I don't understand what's happening, but that's what it was. So I'm fine with that. We had did I skip a bit? No, I didn't. Kairi Shida defeated Christy James, which I don't really know too much about, but she had a lot of offense and she kicked out of this like nasty running knee.
I think she's just a one-time wrestler, which I mean that happens all the time on AEW.
That's kind of there's a lot of people that like just get signed that way.
Yeah, them and yeah, maybe they get the contracts later if they do good. Them and Paul Heyman, they love them a good squash match. Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't really a squash match. Like I mean, it lasted like 5 or 6 minutes, and she kicked out of a lot of shit.
It's like that match with Omega.
Yeah, yeah.
That random guy got a really good match in. It was like, huh.
But yeah, it was pretty decent. Obviously, Shida picks up the win, but kudos to Christy. It was good. Up next we had Cody coming out and, you know, giving his Cody babyface fire promos.
Yeah.
I will say I thought it was funny in the crowd the whole time. Brandy was like slapping, not slapping, but like hitting QT Marshall because Allie was flirting with him the whole time and he wasn't paying attention to Cody, which I think is something that's been going on Dark, but I haven't been really paying attention to Dark too much, unfortunately.
Me either. And I should. Those matches are usually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I'm just so tired after work that, like, I usually just don't even think about anything except my bed.
You should just turn it on and absorb it in your sleep.
That's not a bad idea. Just put in the headphones. That's how Dexter learned French in Dexter's lab.
Yeah, makes sense.
Except he only learned, cheese omelette?
Yeah, that's how the Weasley friend and no, I don't remember what that was. I think that was actually a Boy Meets World episode where Eric learned something but was afraid of hot dogs. Oh, no, he learned to ice skate but was afraid of hot dogs.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, his friend just kind of like dubbed over his mom's weight loss tapes where it's like, you hate, or like, you love ice skating. You hate not to ice skate.
I'm going to have to find
that. So then she's like, oh, you want a chili dog? And he was just like, ah, and ran out of the building. But he was a great ice skater.
That's hilarious. He cuts the face from, basically, Cody comes out and is starting like an open challenge for the TNT Championship every week.
All right, so we got our John Cena.
Yeah, it was good for him.
At least he owns the company.
There was a. I don't know if this is a little bit later in the night. I don't know if it's part. This is part of it, but they had a battle royal to determine who's facing him next week. I don't know if that's like always going to happen, or if the open challenge is like literally anybody can come out. But this was already scheduled, so then they're doing this, and then it's going to be the open challenge.
That'd be awesome. Every week a battle royal to face Cody.
That would be too much. I think that might be a little bit.
The battle royals.
That might be a little bit.
Holla, 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 player. Let's make it a tag match.
We did have a match before that, though, with Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc defeating SCU, which was very, very upset. Not upsetting, but like SCU definitely had the advantage pretty much the whole match. And, of course, Penelope Ford.
She always helps.
She always helps. She grabbed on to Frankie Kazarian, and that messed up their finisher. And then they were able to get Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc were able to get their finisher off on SCU for the victory. Nice. So quite an upset. So, but that's fine. Yeah, because they have what happened to it. Oh, Phoenix is injured. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally, because I was like, it looks like they're like getting some other like tag teams going. But that was like, and then Pac is stuck in his own country, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what about Death Triangle? But that's right. One of them's injured. They're probably stuck in their own countries.
Yeah. One of them's injured. One of them's quarantined.
That's right. When they come back, it'll be awesome.
Yes, and we'll also get Volta.
I was pretty happy when in like last week when
and Stallion Pete will be back.
Yeah, I was pretty happy last week when Phoenix like Orange Cassidy was gonna like assist in the match, and then just like out of nowhere comes a flying kick from the entrance by Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
Just destroys Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, it's just not your typical club to the head. This is like, all right, we're gonna.
You're like, oh, did somebody throw him? Why is he going so fast?
Is Keith Lee there?
Yeah, we did have, like I said, big battle royal. I'm going to go ahead and read off who was in it. We had MJF Wardlow, which MJF was cutting a promo beforehand and was like, me and Wardlow are going to be teaming up, whatever. And then when it's just down to me and Wardlow, Wardlow's going to eliminate himself. And he's like, what? And then MJF starts yelling at him, and Wardlow clearly gets pissed off, and MJF's like, I'm just kidding, buddy. Come on, let's go to the ring. Let's go to the ring. Yeah, we had MJF, Wardlow, Dr. Luther, Peter Avalon, Brandon Cutler, Christian Daniels, all three members of Jurassic Express, Colt Cabana, Billy Gunn, Sonny, and then Orange Cassidy, who got jumped by Santana Ortiz earlier because he interrupted a promo during the Inner Circle, probably just wandering on.
Yes, he does.
Yep. But there's a lot of stuff that happened, so I'm just kind of like ran some random notes. A lot of Wardlow and MJF doing like really shady heel stuff to get people eliminated. Colt got handed a Dark Order flyer after Billy Gunn eliminated him.
Yeah. He kind of looked like he was interested, too.
Yeah.
I love that they have flyers also.
But it goes down to Wardlow, MJF, Orange Cassidy, and Jungle Boy is the last four. MJF accidentally punches, like, hits Wardlow with the ring when he was going for Jungle Boy, and then gets eliminated. And then Orange Cassidy and Jungle Boy team up and get Wardlow out. Then, how was it? It was like this weird hurricanrana out of the ring that Jungle Boy did to Orange Cassidy to win. So next week, we'll be getting Jungle Boy versus Cody for the TNT Championship. And that is a match I'm excited for.
Yeah, that's going to be really good.
It's going to be really good.
I completely expect Cody to win it, but it's going to be a really good match. Mm-hmm.
And then we end with a very strange, a very awesome, awesome promo followed by a very strange promo. We had the Inner Circle pep rally, which was great. Vicky Guerrero was a cheerleader with everybody. They were giving each other gifts, like noise canceling headphones for Ortiz because his bell got rung literally by a bell.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Jake Hager read probably the best poem ever.
Yeah, that was. That was something.
I love that they call the Inner Circle pumpkin-headed dipshits. That is like my new favorite insult.
Yeah, and it rhymed.
Yes. But yeah, and then eventually Sammy asked Jericho what he want. He's like, I want Mike Tyson's head on a platter. And then they see that the bubbly's gone, and Tyson comes out with like five or six guys, some of which are very famous, and I don't know who they are, and I apologize, but I know that they're like famous boxers and fighters, and that I just, one guy had like weird face paint on.
Yeah, I can't remember who that was either.
But Jericho was just trying to get an apology, and Tyson was like trying to take the mic and saying shit, and yeah, then
it seemed like he had a little bit of the bubbly.
Like he like tore his shirt off, but it didn't actually tear all the way off, and he's like flexing.
He didn't learn from Hogan.
I think Jericho
had a Luger.
I think Jericho was just waiting for him to shove him, but Tyson was just improvising, and like the faces that he was making when he was flexing were just the strangest things in the world. But then we break shoulders.
You want a Tyson promo, you get a Tyson promo.
Yep. Then, you know, Tyson shoves Jericho. Jericho shoves Tyson. And then we break social distancing as literally everybody files out of the back.
Oh, yeah.
To stop Tyson and Jericho from fighting. So I think we're getting that at Fyter Fest. And I hope it's just a one-hit KO.
Probably.
Yeah. And then done with that. But, yeah, that is AEW. It was pretty good. And then just ended very strangely.
Yeah, the promo was a little bit awkward. Let's say pacing issues. Because it was very screech halty and, like, yeah.
Yep.
Very, huh? Put in there a couple times, too. But, yes, moving to NXT. We start off with a to the final match, triple threat that we were promised last week between Jake Atlas, Kushida, and Drake Maverick.
ICW?
Yeah, the Interim Cruiserweight Championship, because I keep wanting to call him Jordan Belfort.
Sorry, my brain...
Jordan Devlin is stuck over in Ireland, but so instead of stripping the title from him, they're doing this tournament. Which I'm okay with.
My brain registered the New Japan belts.
Oh.
I was like, what?
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have abbreviated it that way. That makes sense. Good call.
What a crossover.
This match was actually a lot of Atlas and Kushida beating up on Drake Maverick. Like, they take one of the other one out, whoever was beating up on Maverick, or who had just beaten up on Maverick out, like, occasionally, and then just go back to beating him up. He got a couple in there, but it was very, I don't know how you call that, one-sided? Half-sided?
Probably.
It was very two-thirds sided.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there was actually this really great spot once where Kushida rolled up Atlas for a two-count, and then Drake Maverick tried to come in and break it. So, like, he still had Atlas rolled up, but just with his shoulders up. So he does an Empress German roll, German suplex, like, while still in the roll-up, and pins both of them at the same time for a double two count.
Oh, wow.
It was fantastic. Drake Maverick actually almost got the win early on, too, with a armbar kind of roll through like he did last week. They got me there. I thought for a second he was actually going to win it. Kushida actually locked Jake Atlas in the cross arm breaker. But then Drake Maverick kind of like crawled over Jake Atlas, like covering his arm, so the referee couldn't see him tapping out as he counted the three count. Drake Maverick wins. He goes on to the finals to face El Hijo de Fantasma.
You know what?
And I'm not sure if this was all a work or if the like support that he got made him do this or if he's even going to win. But Fantasma's going to be the biggest heel ever if he defeats Drake Maverick.
It's like I can see this, him losing that match, and then it just, then they let him go.
Yeah, I can too.
Like, oh.
I can too. I feel if there's a crowd there, there's no way.
But if there, but there isn't a crowd, there's going to be, so they just have to, I don't know. It's just, why do they shouldn't use, like, real life stuff like this. It's like, what the hell?
But they are. Fantasma comes out afterwards, and he kind of, like, offers the handshake, and Drake Maverick's like, this isn't just about the title, this is about my job. It, man, pulling on the heartstrings. It was a terrific match, terrific promo afterwards. I'm okay with this. Like, the interim cruiserweight championship, like, matches have been all pretty fantastic.
You know, did he say, I got kids afterwards?
No.
And then it just, like, zooms to, oh my god, why am I spacing out on his name right now?
Heath Slater?
Yes, it zooms to him sitting in his trailer park crying. I assumed like that character would live in a trailer park with like, nine kids.
Heath Slater, I got kids versus I don't have. I'm fighting for my job.
I'm fighting for my job versus I got kids.
Nice. We have the Garganos out next. We have Johnny Gargano, kind of like. They're kind of like talking back and forth about like who they're going to fight and how people are misinterpreting them. This all kind of like amounts to we're getting the Johnny Gargano Invitational. So this turns into a wrestling match. It's Gargano versus Adrian Alanis. It kind of starts with Gargano like offering the handshake to him, which just kind of turns into offering a cheap shot to him, yeah. Which he takes because he has no choice. It's pretty quick. Super kick, Gargano escape, tap, tap, tappy.
Tappity, tap, tap.
Mm-hmm. And yes, this started out as a promo, turned into a wrestling match, and ended as a promo because we have Mia Yim and the buttery, buttery voice of Keith Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting down to dinner.
Ooh.
Mocking the Garganos, complete with the black and white filter and everything. It's great. But they're kind of like talking about, you know, how they're not actually sitting down and eating dinner. They're getting takeout instead. And Tegan Knox enters with a pizza. But she's eaten all but one slice.
What is happening?
I don't know. I'm not sure. This thing was very confusing, yet very entertaining.
That's so ridiculous.
And it kind of plays into something that happens later, so I'm okay with this. I like when storylines follow through and they're not just like, well, that was random and entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Did somebody get hit in the face with the last pizza at the very end?
No.
Oh, damn.
Kevin Owens revealed it was Vince. He might not have thrown it, but he ultimately decided it was going to be thrown. So actually, after this, we move from one promo to another promo. Because it's a Drake Maverick promo, he kind of realizes, like, Atlas was tapping, and he's sitting there like, oh, no, like, should I have a rematch? That he, you know, being the very baby face that he is. But this is when Kushida comes up, and he says, fight for your title, fight for your job. And kind of, like, you know, giving him his blessings.
Gets
and
then the DeLorean.
Yeah, Drake's like, when I win this, I'm going to give you the first shot. So I can only assume Kushida's just going to get in the DeLorean and, you know, make sure he takes Drake out before putting him in the cross-arm breaker.
That would be really cool if during that match, like it's, like, right at the end, there's just, like, a giant flash from, like, the entrance. And you see just the front end of the DeLorean as Kushida runs up wearing the same thing he wore on this night.
That would be interesting.
Oh, man. Why? God. See, they didn't do that kind of stuff in New Japan, but I feel like the copyrights are a lot stricter over here than it is over there.
Probably.
Because, I mean, I literally always talk about it. Like, when they came on and
Yeah, in a DeLorean, that was awesome.
That was so awesome.
I mean, there's technically nothing that says they can't drive on it in a DeLorean.
Like they're actually implying it.
Yeah. They're implying it, but they're not necessarily saying it.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yay, copyright. quick mention, we also have a Imperium promo. Basically, they're dissing Britain Brawler, so it seems like Oni and Lorcan are going to get a title shot. I'm assuming it's going to be a really hard-hitting, fast-paced match, slowed down by Imperium using their superior brute strength style, culminating in them winning eventually when you think Oni and Lorcan might have it.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yes. So next up, we have Shotzi Blackheart and her adorable little tank versus the giant Raquel Gonzalez, who's, well, she's kind of adorable, but not little at all. So Dakota Kai tries to steal Shotzi's mini tank at one point. It kind of pisses me off. Yeah, that actually brings Tegan Nox out, who kind of like shoves her. Shotzi actually eventually tries to do a coffin drop too. Unfortunately, she lands on the back of her head.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's very, very grimacing. It's no good. But yeah, then, like I said, they're all out there. Since Tegan Nox is out there, that brings out Candice LeRae, who's yelling at her about the part that she had in the storyline with Keith Lee and Mia Yim earlier with the pizza. She's like, you should be ashamed. So this kind of distracts the ref as Shotzi's going for the acid drop, which Kai stops her from doing. So Raquel just lands this huge one-arm slam for the 1-2-3.
Very nice.
Yeah, she beats Shotzi. Shotzi's record isn't too good, but she's still a fantastic wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with this. We have a Balor and Priest promo next. It's pretty good. They're throwing pretty good disses that also kind of work with their catchphrases and gimmicks.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Nothing special, but yeah, I guess we're getting them eventually. They'll just keep cutting promos until then. Next up, we have Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair and Chelsea Green. Oh my! Yeah, how do you put two heels on one team and see who can out-heal each other? Because obviously it's going to be Charlotte in this case. She just, like, every time Chelsea like is getting the upside, Charlotte kind of like calls for the tag. It's such great heel work. Also, a good opportunity for Chelsea Green. Although at one point she kind of like pushes Charlie out of the way of a springboard dropkick. From there, like, Io accidentally, like, crashes into Rhea Ripley, and there's a surprise roll-up with Charlotte's feet on the ropes for the 1-2-3.
So, of course.
Unfortunately, she pins Io, which means she's winning at In Your House.
Because
I assume we're going to do that triple threat again. Why wouldn't we? That'd be great.
Why's Charlotte there?
I don't know. She needs to stop. Why is she everywhere?
She's still the champ, right?
I don't mind if she's on NXT, but like, take her off the other two shows then. Like, yeah. You're the champ over there. Stay over there.
Yeah, you don't need the spotlight and everything.
Nah, she was probably promised it, and Vince backed out.
Giant sigh.
Yes. So we have another promo. It's the Gargano's responding. There's a lot of that here.
Do they have all the pizza except one piece?
No.
Damn.
Johnny's just calling out Lee, and he's saying he's facing you at TakeOver In Your House, which is June 7th on a Sunday, not the Saturday, June 6th that I said beforehand.
Sunday?
Yes.
Come on.
Lee is facing Gargano for the North American title, but then Candice LeRae is like, well, I'm not waiting. I'm facing Mia Yim next week. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're getting that.
That'll be exciting.
Yes. I assume Candice is going to win here, and Johnny's probably going to lose.
Yeah? Why do you assume that?
Because it's Keith Lee.
No, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess it's more like, why are you going to assume that Candice is going to win? Because both of them can't lose?
Yes.
50-50 booking.
And I think there's going to be some random shenanigans. And it's WWE. There has to be 50-50 booking.
Keith Lee's going to come in and hit them with the remainder of the pizza. Or hit Candace. No, because
Tegan Nox ate it.
Because she's not... Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, she only had the one slice, right? Okay, so then it'll be the one slice.
With one slice of pizza. Yeah,
Keith will come in, just so it's just, you know, with the amount of swag that he has, and he'll walk up to Candace and then just slap her in the face with the pizza.
Nice.
And then surprise roll up for the victory.
I can see that. Next up, we have a Zoom meeting between William Regal and Adam Cole. They're kind of arguing back and forth. This turns out to be that we're getting Cole versus Dream one more time at In Your House. And Dream will not get another shot at the title while Cole is holding it if he loses this one.
Ooh.
Which, if this was the main roster, would lead me to believe that he's going to win it, because whenever they put a stipulation on like that in the main roster, it happens.
Yeah.
But since it's NXT, it would lead me to believe that he's actually going to lose it and do something else in the meantime. But then this is NXT, so they might just be pulling a double bluff, like, they'll think this, we'll actually do this.
Well, you could also lose it and move to one of the other brands.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, too. And then they get a call-up, but I hope Vince doesn't Vince him.
Well, they already called up Matt Riddle, so we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kurt Angle is actually coming up as his manager.
Yeah, that'll be real good.
Yes, but next we got another promo. Lorcan and Birch. They respond. They're kind of like talking about Imperium. They're going to go after Imperium, but they like broke into a pub or something, and they're like drinking water. It's odd. It also both starts with they're like, "Oh yes, you hit hard. Yes, you hit hard too. We both hit hard. Ha ha ha." It was interesting. Not exactly like that, but it was a really bizarre promo, but it got the point across.
Yeah.
It's confirming that we're getting the Britain Brawler versus Imperium. So next we move on to not a promo, Leon Ruff versus Tommaso Ciampa. But like Scarlett, not Bordeaux, because we can't call her Scarlett Bordeaux, kind of follows him out to the ring. And, like, eventually Ciampa notices her. He's like, what the hell? And gets distracted. Leon Ruff actually gets some moves in for a little bit until he eats a knee from Ciampa. So then Ciampa kind of, like, blows a kiss to Scarlett, hits the fairy tale ending. It was good. Nothing to actually, like, write about. I like the character work that's going on. Cross appears on the Titantron afterwards, and he says that in your house he's going to give you something that you've never gotten before.
A puppy.
Ginger snaps. I don't know.
Kidnapping in a van.
Has that happened before?
That
sounds like something WWE would do.
Isn't there somebody trying to kidnap a bunch of people?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
What if it's Killer Cross and he's just like, I got candy, and he's like,
The people in those masks do not fit Killer or Karrion Kross's frame at all.
Well, I'm sure he can have him like be the those are the lackeys and stuff like that.
Exalted. I mean, the leader.
But yeah, it'll be perfect, because both puppies and Ginger Snaps will be inside the van.
Nice. Anyway, we move on to the main o'clock. It's Timothy Thatcher versus Matt Riddle.
The main o'clock.
Yes, the main event o'clock. It's Timothy Thatcher versus Matt Riddle in the fight pit.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm excited about this.
Weird looking.
Yeah, it's like the turnbuckles have been removed, the ropes have been removed. It's just a cage surrounded by scaffolding, and there's kind of like a platform around the cage on top of the scaffolding. Ooh. Yeah, and Angle, of course, as I said earlier, is back after his 4 weeks of being fired.
Yeah.
So there's that, and I think he might be Matt Riddle's manager. I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
I don't think Matt Riddle needs it, but I don't know if Vince is going to get his whole, like, I'm permanently stoned gimmick that he has.
I do love, like,
I'm permanently stoned until I fight, bro.
The promo that he gave, like, on SmackDown was just so, it was so strange. Like, it had to be, he's just like, yeah, I've been, you know, I might be laid back, but when it comes to the ring, I know what I'm doing. All without shoes, bro. I'm like, what is this? Vince is not going to like this at all.
No, he's not, but it's great, and I hope he doesn't touch it.
Yeah.
Bruce Pritchard's like, leave this one alone, Vince.
Just trust us.
Let me have this one. You can take care of all the others. I'll take this one.
It's so ridiculous.
Look over there. Look over at Otis.
Look at him. Yeah, look, he's bad. Before we go on, the Otis and Mandy promo on Friday was so fucking funny. I think it was the Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Was there? They were spoofing with him coming out of the water.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I was laughing so hard.
It was like safe. Oh my god. It was like safe for work porn. It was hilarious.
Basically, like Mandy squirting the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, that was great. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that's going to make this match seem so less brutal if I describe it now. Okay, so Timothy Thatcher and Matt Riddle. And Thatcher lost teeth at one point.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like, he just kind of, like, walked over, handed him to Kurt Angle. So, I guess Kurt Angle, like, ref the rest of the match with his teeth, with him, you know, Timothy Thatcher's teeth in his pocket. He was checked out by medical for a little bit. And then they continued. Yeah, there was a lot of spots everywhere. There was a point when Riddle was, like, bouncing everyone off the cage. This was kind of like a very theatrical UFC fight. It looked like a choreographed movie, like something from a movie.
When I saw the design,
not intense music.
Yeah, when I saw the design of like the what they were fighting in, I'm like, this looks like a UFC cage, kind of, just with platforms.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. There was like spots on the scaffolding. Riddle actually hit a floating bro. Eventually, though, like they were. It actually looked like Riddle was kicking the shit out of Timothy Thatcher's face, and then Thatcher somehow like locked the rear naked choke in, the RNC. So Riddle like bounced him off of two sides of the cage, then jumped on his back. Thatcher released. Riddle sits up. Thatcher jumps up, yells, like screams like a madman, locks it back in, and then Riddle goes out. Angle calls for the bell.
Wow.
I think we might actually have one more match eventually, even though he got called up, because the score is 1-1.
Yeah, you gotta have that rubber match.
Yeah. And I'm all for it. Like, the first match seemed very quick. It was the random roll-up thing. I don't know. It was kind of weird. But the second one, I like the pit. The fight pit is good.
Yeah, the fight pit is good. I wonder if they'd be able to do that live.
I can't wait till we see that on Monday Night Raw.
I wonder if we'd be able to do that live.
On Monday Night Raw, that turns into a pay-per-view eventually. Coming in October, fight pit!
Fight pit, yes, I love that shit.
That's some good shit! But that is it for NXT.
All right. So yeah, how quickly do you think they're going to have the fight pit as a toy?
Oh...
Like, is it out? You think it's out now?
3 months, yeah. Minimum.
So before we get into our Snyder discussion, we have
the Tournament of Heroes!
And some villains, too, which I think at this point, yeah, it still has some villains in it, so we can still keep calling it that.
Yes.
So we have...
It has Cheetah.
Yes. We have the two quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. That we, from last week, we said we were going to do two, but we're looking over it, and we're like, oh, the couple of these are probably going to be quick.
Yeah.
So, that's why we're going to start out by saying in the fight between Colossus and Nightwing, Colossus would probably win pretty handily.
Yeah, I can't seem to find any case where Colossus has a huge weakness to electricity.
Yeah.
So, that's the only thing I think that could happen. He's... taken several megatons of explosives, so yeah. Lightning's little bombs wouldn't do very much.
No, he would just laugh, say something in Russian, and then punch him across the room.
Yes.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that fight doesn't really.
Now, the one that we seem to be sort of disagreeing on is the Nightcrawler versus Captain America. Oh, kitty.
Cat is very upset about it.
She would have figured it out that the window was closed. She should have let it happen.
No.
Oh, now she's really angry.
Yeah, she's just going to attack the other cat. Cat's in the recording room. Bad idea.
Yep. So, Nightcrawler versus Captain America.
This fight's a lot like the Daredevil one, except Captain America hits a lot harder, and he's way more durable.
I still think, though, that Nightcrawler would come out on top. Just out of, like I said, I feel like, yeah, he is a little bit more durable, but I think that the whole brimstone and kind of nausea thing that would come from it would affect him a lot more. Because
did someone with enhanced super senses?
Well, because he would.
I mean, he's got peak senses, but he doesn't have Daredevil enhanced senses.
Well, no, I didn't mean it more or less like he would getting sick, but I mean because Daredevil could see where it's coming from, at least with that. Whereas Captain America really doesn't have any sort of indicator, aside from his normal his reflexes.
That's true.
So I think that, in the end, would give him a little bit more of an edge.
But I think Captain America would pick up on Nightcrawler's multi-second bamps quicker. So while he's sitting there taking punches and kicks, he's also learning a little bit. I think eventually he does catch up to Nightcrawler and hit him a few times. Now this begs to the question here is, does Nightcrawler hit him enough times and hard enough to where he gets knocked out before Cap figures out how to hit him and how many times it's going to take? Because I think if Cap nails one solid punch on Nightcrawler, he's probably out. But I think he's also too slow to just outright nail one solid punch.
Yeah, I do think Nightcrawler definitely has a speed advantage.
Yeah, I think you have to glance him a few times, and then Nightcrawler gets a little bit too dizzy, follows the same pattern a few too many times, and Cap hits him for the KO.
Oh, man. This one is tough.
Yeah, I'm going to say 50% of the time I think Cap has it, but Nightcrawler is so fast.
I really do think that's a huge factor, because if you can if you can get even if you're if he's able to like throw a like get a couple glancing blows, like if you come at him that quickly, I mean, just the amount of brimstone alone could probably choke him out. For if you're moving fast enough in a concentrated area where it's just like he is just in the middle of you bamping all around, not only are you getting hit with all the those attacks, but you're also inhaling all this sulfur and all this other stuff, which would...
I also have to remember that Nightcrawler can actually hurl a grown man like with his tail alone. So Nightcrawler could also just kind of like bamf, throw Cap in midair, and then like bamf in midair and just like stomp him.
Yeah, that's true. Or like grab with his tail, bamf, go up in the air, and then throw him down.
I think Cap would probably be able to survive that, even though he's peak human condition, quote unquote. He's survived some amazing falls that should have killed normal people.
Now here's my question. If momentum is a little bit more with Nightcrawler, I feel like, cause if he's going at a certain speed and then he bamps into another direction, would he still be going that speed?
I'm not 100% sure. I believe so, because he teleports to a demon realm like for only a moment to jump through space and time like he hopes to jump through space like he does.
Okay.
Which is why he can actually interdimensional teleport eventually.
So theoretically, if him and Nightcrawler, if Cap and Nightcrawler are falling and they reach like, I mean, he can probably, if technically Nightcrawler can bamf like 200, like 2 miles. Mm-hmm. So he can bamf 2 miles up as well.
He can only go 100 feet. We're in a cube, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. So, like, well, then that wouldn't work, actually, because your falling speed wouldn't be that great. Because I was thinking if you're falling from a distance and you're, like, he could bamf from, like, the side and keep that momentum and, like sidekick Cap in the head.
Oh, yeah, he can hit him multiple times before a Cap can fall, and you can't change your direction in air that much while getting attacked.
So I think Nightcrawler would have the edge on that one.
I think it's close, but yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. I was really pulling for Cap on this one.
And
which is weird considering I was pulling for Nightcrawler the last one.
Yeah. I think both of you, the matchup against Colossus would be more interesting than Nightcrawler than with Captain America, at least.
Well, yeah, because Captain America's vibranium shield makes Colossus not be Colossus anymore. He's Pietro then.
That's such like a weird, like, I had, that was such a strange fact that...
Yeah, ting, vibranium off the head. Oh, what's this?
All right. So, next week, what do we got?
We have Cyborg and Beast Boy. Well, Cyborg versus Beast Boy and Cheetah versus Spider-Man.
Best friends pitted against each other.
I know.
And then...
That was unfortunate he arranged it that way.
Just a really throwaway fight that Spider-Man is probably going to take.
Probably.
But
I'll see if there's any way. I'll try to make a good argument for Minerva.
So before we finish out, I just wanted to talk about the Snyder Cut a little bit. I've been reading a lot of things.
Black Suit Spider-Man. Not the Nicolas Cage version, though.
Superman?
Oh, we were going to get Black Suit Nicolas Cage Superman at one point.
You said Black Suit Spider-Man. That's why I was confused. Although I would love to see Black Suit Spider-Man as Nicolas Cage.
Probably Venom 3. We'll come back to that later.
So... I've been seeing a lot of stuff online, people now calling for, this is two arguments that I have, two kind of issues that I have with the Snyder Cut and, like, coming out and all that stuff. Like, as a fan, I'm excited. I don't think this is not going to be a, like, this isn't going to be what Zack Snyder originally wanted to do. Like, that, and that's the one worry that I have with that, or that's my first part of the argument, because they're going in here with they're doing voiceovers and stuff like that, but they're also essentially making the movie again 2 hours longer with hindsight. So they'll know what people did and did not like about their movie, and they'll be able to manipulate it.
Or 6-hour episodes, don't forget.
But
with hindsight.
With hindsight. So they'll know, like, okay, Stephen Wolf didn't work. This, like, really quick kind of jumble thing didn't work.
No, Stephen Wolf worked, but supposedly there's a lot more scenes of that shows, like, he actually wants to get the Mother Box to fight Darkseid, and his mother is literally trapped in the box. Which is why they call it a mother box.
Well,
wasn't explained before. It was just kind of like okay, the Amazons imprisoned him. Moving on.
Yeah, and now they're in talks of, like, Darkseid is going to be in this, is the villain of this, basically. So
I forgot the actor that confirmed it, but someone already said that he played Darkseid in the Snyder Cut.
Yeah. So
I guess he's at the beginning and the end.
What?
I guess he's at the beginning and the end.
Oh, okay. The beginning of the end.
Yeah, I guess Steppenwolf kind of, like, falls into a boom tube at the end. Sorry, guys, he loses again. Spoilers.
Sorry, guys, he loses again.
Yeah, I guess he kind of, like, falls into a boom tube at the end, and Darkseid's just standing there like, I am displeased. I'll not forget this or something, and walks out.
But yeah, so going into that, like, knowing that, like, this isn't really going to be, like if in an alternate universe where Joss Whedon never took over the picture and we had Zack Snyder the whole ride, we would have not gotten a 4 to 6 hour movie. We still would have gotten, like, a 2, maybe 3 hour movie. So what we're going to get is going to be probably, like, storyline-wise, around the same, but we'll probably be, like I said, with hindsight, a lot better, and, like, okay, we're going to redo this. This is going to happen because they have, like, $20, $30 million to, like, add this, you know, for whatever it is. So my question to you is, if this is as successful as it could be, do you think that this could potentially, like, sort of ruin movies at a point? Because the way that all these studios are, like, part of these bigger corporations that all have their own kind of streaming service going on right now. So if this was successful for HBO Max and they get, like, a bunch of new subscriptions because of the Zack Snyder film, would that give studios more incentive to, like, yeah, we'll put this movie out in theaters, but the actual movie is going to be premiering on HBO Max later on, like, with the extended, with the extra hour, with more this and that.
I think that's going to happen anyway, but this might accelerate it.
I don't think, maybe I kind of worded it wrong. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen. Like, if that, or,
I don't know, I think eventually some movie exec would have figured out, like, hey, if we put bonus materials on only our streaming network, we can make a bunch of money.
Well, I mean, they do that for, like on Blu-rays and stuff. They always have deleted scenes and stuff like that. But what I mean by that is, like, this is literally, like, they're essentially reconstructing the whole movie and releasing something completely different. So, like, could they, like, theoretically do that, where it's, like, can you, imagine, like, Alien Covenant, we get what we got in theaters, but then Fox, now owned by Disney Plus, is like, hey, we know this was kind of wishy-washy, but we're gonna have
10 more minutes of Fassbender.
Not even 10 minutes. It's like, this is Ridley Scott's true version of Alien Covenant, which will help connect all of these movies together. And it's like this, like whatever long.
As long as we get more Fassbender kissing.
I feel like that would just kind of fuck up the going to the movies, you know? Because then it's like, why would anyone want to go in theaters to see this movie if they know that in, like, you know, 6 to 8 months, or like a year or so like that, the NBC streaming service is going to put out this movie made by Universal that is like an has an extra hour long and is like a lot better, you know, just because it's like a completely different movie.
I think it depends on how often there's a demand for another cut of a movie.
But that's, that actually leads into my second point, because they also talked about, I read how there are people calling for your Jared Leto Joker Suicide Squad cut and your Josh Trank Fantastic Four, as opposed to what we got with Fan4Stick and shit like that. Now, I don't think that'll necessarily make those movies any better.
I don't think you can remake Suicide Squad unless the Joker's going to be the main villain of it.
Just as I don't think that, like, personally, I'm not, like, I'm excited for the Snyder Cut, but, like, I also just thought Justice League was a bad movie, and if that's the shell of it, and they're going to stuff the shell with whatever, we're still kind of might get the same kind of experience, you know? Just a very, like, weird, drab...
But if you stuff a shell with gunpowder, you can get a bullet sometimes. And maybe it'll be right on target.
But the...
Get it? Ricochet.
Golf clap. Golf clap for that one.
Yes, thank you.
I
was planning to be spontaneous for a little bit there.
There you go. So, I don't know. I think I'm excited. Like I said, I'm excited for this, but I feel like it could have some serious drawbacks.
I think it could, but I also kind of want to see a dark recut of this movie, like we were promised.
Well, I punched the mic. That's what I meant.
Now you're getting angry.
I am. God. That's what I meant by, like with Suicide Squad and other ones, it's like, those are just, like, the Josh Trank I might be interested in because of just how poorly cut the final product actually was. Like, it was like, these are clearly two separate movies that they just cut into something. But I feel like the circumstances around the Snyder Cut is what makes this really the only thing that could possibly work, which is another fear of them kind of just fucking up the theaters and be like, oh, we can just do this. But it's like, yeah, but like, you guys could have just put this out in theaters. This happened because ABC, you know, like directors had to move around, family tragedy, shit like that.
Yeah. There was a bunch of things that affected that.
Yeah. And the fact that like, the studio is backing it, and the actors and the directors are like, this is a better movie. Like, everyone's supporting it. I feel like that would have a different vibe than them coming out with, you know, oh, you didn't like, well, okay, no, Rise of Skywalker is a bad example.
That would require a lot of chopping.
That would be so much chopping.
It's only okay because that movie was on a very sharp decline, and it didn't make it decline as much.
Yeah.
I liked it more than 8. Which I guess a lot of it was correcting 8, so ignoring that, I'm still not sure if it's a good movie. Anyway, saying?
No, it's just, these are things that, like, with the whole, like, virus stuff that's been going on, I've been worried about movie theaters in general, because I enjoy the movie experience, like, going to the theaters.
Yes, but, that $12 beer really sets it apart.
But between, like, Trolls and then this stuff with the Snyder film, like, I feel like these, like, it almost threatens it, because you're giving people less motivation to go out and go to movie theaters and more motivation just to rent on-demand stuff.
What this is going to lead to? Movie mega chains! It's just going to be like movie theaters. Well, kind of like some of them are now inside of shopping malls, or they have like bowling alleys and restaurants in it. It's just going to be a full day's experience.
Yeah, which is cool. I'm down with that too. But that's long, you know. It's,
maybe we can bring back those little gerbil tubes that kids crawl through.
Like I said,
never mind. That's a bad idea.
Like no sound system that I could ever afford will ever match. will never match the experience of seeing Endgame in a theater.
Also, the bass drop when the Emperor unleashed the fleet-destroying lightning, which kind of made me wonder why there was ever a space battle at the beginning.
Yeah.
He should have just, like, open the space window.
Just, you know, Skrillex is underneath his stairs, just, like, hitting the wubs.
Yep. The wub button.
The way he just presses the wub button and goes back to reading Harry Potter. This is just thoughts that I have. I don't know what your take was on it.
I think as long as there's demand and everyone agrees it's a good idea, then let's go for it. But like the other movie you mentioned, like Suicide Squad, I don't think we have a complete agreement that that should happen.
I don't think people thinking it's a good idea is even ever a factor with anything that comes to the movie business. We don't shit.
Generally not.
They've made so many King Arthur movies and they all just keep losing money. And it's like, why don't you guys just like chill out for a little bit? And they're like, no, we're going to do like 9 more. They're like, no, don't. They're like, this one has a kid in it and he didn't.
And he's in King Arthur's court.
Yeah. I'm like, ugh. So I don't
know. This one's got Clive Owen. That one actually wasn't horrible.
Yeah, we're gonna do.
It wasn't good.
But we're gonna do horrible. Another Chipmunk sequel, guys. Oh god, they're gonna cross over with the Smurfs.
I thought they were gonna cross over with King Arthur for a second.
No, oh, that would be interesting too.
Oh, god, Alvin pulls out Excalibur.
Oh no,
no, make it Theodore.
Oh no, that would be. I would not want to be rule under that or be subjugated to that rule.
Caffeine. I love when they get caffeine.
God damn it. That's they got you in there. You're on the Chipmunk train.
Yes.
You gotta get off.
Nah. I'm okay with the squeaky voices.
So yeah, those are my thoughts. Let me know, or let us know what you guys think at House of Pod 1 on Twitter and Instagram. Although, you would have to like take a picture of something. And then, I don't know how that works. Neither of us do. We were talking about Twitter the other day. And we're like, it's just too, it's so big. I don't get it.
I don't like it. Instagram's fine.
Yeah, Instagram's all right. Because that gives everything to you one at a time.
Don't forget the book of face.
Yeah, but I never use Facebook anymore.
It's good for invites.
That's pretty much, I feel like I use the Messenger more than that, but
it's good for invites and it'll let you know the current news from like 5 sides.
Yeah, well, I use mine so little that everything that I see is always 2 or 3 days behind.
Ah, yes.
So I'm that guy who like, okay. he's talking after the conversation's already over.
All right, tomorrow you should be getting something from me.
Perfect. So yeah, all right, I guess that's the podcast for today.
Mm-hmm.
For House of Pod, I am Mike.
I'm Bash.
Fare thee well.